Good morning, everyone. How are you today? Good, good. You're a bit quiet. Should we try that again? Good morning, everyone. I'm really going to need you to help me this morning. Are you up for that? I've spent the week in bed. Well done, you're on cue. Every day my prayer was, God, I want to be well for Sunday. Just get me well for Sunday. And he got me well for Sunday-ish. I'm here, which is, I'm genuinely thankful to God for that. I know some of you will be going, you're crazy, stay in bed. But do you know what? There's no place I'd rather be. I really mean that. There's no place, sorry Sam, I didn't even hear that. But I genuinely mean that. You know, my desire is always, God, I want to be well enough. I want to be able to make it to church. But actually, more than that, really, for the last few, I'm going to say the last 3 months maybe, I've just been carrying a real sense of the start of this year. And so, of course, Gareth offered to speak this morning. Don't think badly of him. But I said, no, I want to do it because just the word that God's just placed in my heart for these next few weeks. Shall we pray together? Father, my prayer's a simple one. Would you help me and would you help all of us? Because I'm very aware, Father, that I've kind of been living in this subject for a while, but most of us haven't. So my prayer, Father, is that through work of the Holy Spirit, you would just translate what you want to be deposited in our lives right now. I'm asking you for miracles this morning, Father. It's what your kingdom is about. And I'm asking you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read a couple of verses, actually. I wasn't going to do this. It's just, they're on my phone. Being very technical, I screenshotted some of them last night. That deserves a, ooh, Sarah. I know, my kids have to show me how to do it, I'm not gonna lie, but. just listen to some of these scriptures on the kingdom of God, because that's gonna be our theme for the next 3 weeks, the kingdom of God. Listen to this first one. We read it in Colossians. For he, God, has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Did you hear that this morning? He has transferred you, he has taken you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God. How has this happened, Sophie? I'm so grateful that you came up and said what you did. It's not by anything you've done, it's everything that he has done. It's thanks be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, would you right now, wherever you're sitting, just say, thank you, Jesus. I'm a walking miracle. I'm a talking miracle. I'm a breathing miracle. This is not a work of myself. I don't know if there's any religious people in the room. Don't raise your hand. I was one for years where, if I'm honest, I thought a lot of it was because of me. It's not a scrap of you and it's not a scrap of me. Your religiosity will keep you out of the kingdom of God. It's only by Jesus Christ and his death alone, his resurrection, that you're able to be transferred from one kingdom into another kingdom. Somebody say amen to that. Do you want to hear another one? This is in Chronicles. Come on, this is a declaration. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power. Oh, if this excites you, raise your hand, stand up, sing hallelujah. And the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Come on. By the way, I want you to know, you know sometimes in worship you'll hear me go, come on, do you hear me say that? I'm not saying it to you lot, I'm saying it to me. Just letting you know that. I suddenly thought I should say that this morning, because I did it this morning, didn't I? Suddenly had a moment of, come on! And I thought, oh, people might think I'm being a bit bossy. I'm not saying it to you, I'm saying it to me. Do you know, David told himself to come on. Did you know that? He said, come on, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Redeemer and my God. David shouted to himself every day, come on! And you do well to look in the mirror every day and say, come on! So when I say it, it's because my energy levels are a bit low, and I'm going, come on, girl! Kick yourself into gear and praise God. Here's another one. Jesus said, let the little children come to me. Don't hinder them. For the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, belongs to such as these. I thank God that Harbour Church is passionate about children. Hope you do. We've had some people over the years that have found it a bit hard and they've chosen to go to another church. That's okay, I get that. I had one lady tell me we were a bit like a circus. Didn't know what to make of that. Seriously, what she said. She said, it's a bit like coming to the circus when I come to this church, so I'm going to find a quieter church. All right. Fair enough. And she did, and she's in a great church. You know, you've got to find your thing. Seriously, if this isn't your thing, there's so many great churches in Folkestone. Find your thing. But I want to tell you this, if you're at Harbour Church, we believe in generational worship. We're very intentional about the fact that we don't have kids out for worship. We're just passionate about the fact that we're in this together. Jesus said, let the kids come to me. Don't stop them. Don't scowl at a child. Come on, grown up. Because Jesus said, the kingdom of God belongs to them. Could do it. You could learn a thing or two. Yeah. Do you want another one? Thank you, Karen. I really need some help this morning. Oh, this is the, you know, there's this, if you were here a few weeks ago, you heard me talk about the kingdom of God, and I had to bring it to an end because the clock ran out, and I guess the same's going to happen today. There's this, I talked about the tension that we live in that we have the kingdom of God now. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is among you. He said that because he was the king. Okay, so when the king rocks up, the kingdom's there, all right? So Jesus says, the kingdom of God's here. But it's undeniable, you know, as you read scripture, we don't have the complete fullness of the kingdom of God yet. So there's this bit that we live in the kingdom of God now. I am in the kingdom of God, are you? Yeah. I'm saved, I'm in his kingdom. But I want to tell you this. I'll chat to you afterwards, Martin. Is that all right? We'll have a little chat afterwards, Martin. Is that all right? That's cool. Martin's my friend. It's all right. He doesn't mind me saying that to him. That's cool, Martin. I want to tell you this, that the Bible, especially the book of Revelation, but throughout the Bible, there's prophetic words about what will be, what's coming. Do you want to hear what's coming? Yeah. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. That makes me go, thanks God. It's a bit messed up, isn't it, right now? I want to tell you, it's not going to stay this way forever. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. This is us, friends. I want to tell you, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be any mourning or crying or pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Hallelujah. Final one. When Jesus went through the cities and the villages, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, he healed every disease and every affliction. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Would you say that with me? Your kingdom come, your will be done. Well, my start to this new year, if I'm honest, was a bit uneventful. I slept it through. So I really have been quite poorly this week, as I know many of you have, and I've spent most of this week in bed. Whatever this is has pretty much knocked me out. And all I want to say is this, is that actually that's been quite difficult for me, because by nature, I relish the moments. I don't know if you will be able to relate to me. Me and Gareth are quite different on this. That's all I'll say. You can figure it all out. But I am definitely of the camp that relish moments. In fact, my family despair of me. Even just last night, they were despairing of me because they say, oh, Mum, why do you always have to make a moment out of everything? So even if there is no moment, I like to make a moment out of it, all right? Is anyone else a little bit like me? So it'll be quite normal for me to suddenly just go, oh, hi, everyone. And they like look at me and go, what are you doing? I'm just trying to make a moment. Just trying to create something here. You know, if it's my birthday, don't just say happy birthday once. I want you to say it every minute of my birthday, all right? So please remember that for Abby. Like, I want to be reminded, Gareth, once is enough. Happy birthday, and he'll go, oh, is it? Oh, I forgot. For me, I want it said 1,000 times. I want the moment. And so you're looking at someone who relishes a moment. Moments are really important to me. And do you know, I think they should be in our lives. I preached that at Christmas. Moments are important. And so here's the thing, though. For me, New Year has historically been very significant for me. I love New Year. In fact, as a child growing up, we used to pray our way into the new year. And some of you might go, oh, that's so boring. Oh, I miss those days. I mean, we'd have a bit of a party, and then it'd get to 11 o'clock and we'd start worshipping, and we'd pray our way into the new year. We were with friends of ours who pastor a church in London, and you know, in black majority churches, that's what they do. It's a big deal, New Year. And they were telling us about, they said that their New Year's Eve service is their biggest of the year. And in fact, sometimes they said there's fights outside because people can't get in. Like, that's a bit scary. That's a bit worrying, actually. That's a bit religious. But the point is this, is that for a lot of people, it's like, it's a really significant moment. I've got to be worshipping God as the bell goes, you know. I'm not on that extreme, but I like a moment. And so as I did wake up, I was in bed, I was asleep, I then woke up to hear some fireworks, and Kez came running upstairs. I remember her whispering, "Happy New Year." I didn't even have the energy to go, "To you." I was so poorly. And as the next day rolled on, and then it got into the 2nd of Jan, I began to feel disappointed. I began to say to the Lord, "Oh, I've missed my moment." I've missed my moment, because for me, it's not about, you know, Big Ben striking 12. It's about me having a moment with God. It's about me, I like to hear, "God, what are you saying?" For me, it's a moment. It's a very spiritual moment, actually. I said, "God, I've missed my moment. I haven't had my time with you that will launch me into this year." And you know, in his kindness, I heard him whisper this, "Sarah, the kingdom of God at work in you is much more about your being than it is about some moment." It's much more about your being, your state of constant being. And I want to start there this morning. The kingdom of God in us. When we pray, "Your kingdom come in me," we're praying, "God, your kingdom come in my being, in my everyday living, in who I am, my state of being." We can get so consumed with the moments, and in a minute I'm going to talk about the moments, because the moments are important. In fact, I want to say that we need both. We need both the moments where the kingdom breaks through and it's undeniably the kingdom of God at work, but we also need our state of being, our constantness, where actually, like Paul, we're able to say, "I'm content, whatever." Paul lived the kingdom when he said, "I've learned the secret, whether I have a lot or whether I have nothing. I've learned to be content." And I believe that as we grow in our understanding of the kingdom of God at work in me, it's about growing in a greater state of contentment about our being, about who we are. Am I making some sense this morning? I hope as I unpack it a bit more, I will. Your kingdom come in me is about my being, as well as about those moments that actually are quite remarkable. Let me first of all look at this then, your kingdom come in me. I've just said that Paul discovered what it is to be content based on his being, not on what surrounded him. In Romans 14, verse 7, it says this, Paul says, "The kingdom of God is not about eating or drinking, but it's about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." What he's saying is this, it's not about the tangible things that we see around us. In fact, Jesus said, don't say, "Oh, it's over there," or "It's here," or "It's happened here." Don't point to something. The kingdom of God is among you. It's within you. There's a state of our being where the kingdom of God is and dwells. Oh, I had a flashback yesterday. I was thinking about the fact that God dwells within me, and I was like, "Lord, I used to sing a song in Sunday school. What was it?" And within a moment, he reminded me. Shall I sing it to you? No, I won't sing it, because my voice is proper croaky this morning. Oh, I have to sing it. "Joy is the flag flown high from the castle of my heart." Do you remember it? "From the castle of my heart, joy is the flag flown high." I knew you'd know it. "For the king is in residence there." Oh, yeah. Come on. We've even got the actions going on here. The rest of you are going, "What planet are you on?" I've dropped out. My voice can't do it. "For the king is in residence there." Yay! Come on, round of applause. Pete's giving me that look now. This is where me and Pete know there's 10 years between us, when he gives me that look and goes, "You're a bit old, Sarah, you're a bit old." Joy is the flag flown high from the castle of my heart. In other words, because the king lives here, there's joy. Because the king lives here, the way I live is different. Because the king lives here, would you say with me, "The king lives here"? Only say it if he does. I'll come on to that. The king lives here. And when the king lives here, it's evident in my being. There's joy, there's peace, there's righteousness, because the King is in residence there. The kingdom of God is where the King is. The kingdom of God is about his reign, his rule. So if the King lives in you, Jesus said, we've come to make our home in you, then your whole being is changed and transformed by the King. In Galatians 5, and I read this a few weeks ago, I'd encourage you to go and read it, where it describes so clearly the two kingdoms, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God. But when it comes to talking about the kingdom of God, it describes love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Oh, what fruit that comes from the King living here. Joy is the flag flown high. The kingdom of God. A few weeks ago, within my teaching, I asked us to look at Matthew 5. If you've got your Bible, would you do that now? Matthew chapter 5. And Jesus, you know, as he arrives, you know, we've just celebrated his birth. Jesus immediately begins to demonstrate the kingdom of God. Can I remind you this morning, we're going to look at this more in the next couple of weeks, but the kingdom of God is demonstrated in signs and wonders. We should expect to see the kingdom of God at work, the moments, but Jesus took time to describe our state of being in the kingdom of God. And he begins with this incredible teaching as the crowds have gathered around him. We read it in Matthew 5. Would you allow me time to read this to you? God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Forgive me for repeating some stuff. I'm going to do this very quickly, but I want to remind you, he's not talking about your bank account when he says, blessed are you who are poor. The actual word is poor in spirit. It means bent low. It means that you realize your need of God. The Bible says you are so blessed. When you've come to the end of yourself, when there's nothing of you, again, it's what Sophie brought to us this morning, when there's nothing of you, that's when you're blessed. That's where the kingdom of God is. When you say, not me, it's all you, Jesus. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. This word mourn, do you remember me saying? It's a lament for the way things are. It's not just referring to the mourning that you have when you lose a loved one. This is referring to a deep mourning. Have you mourned this week as you've watched the news? I know some of you in this room will have done. Others of you maybe don't even watch it. Our world is in a terrible state. And when we watch the news, our first reaction should be one of mourning, lamenting. God, come, come. God says, that's where my kingdom is, in a heart that laments for the state of the world. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. What a contrast to our world and its kingdom. God's seeking humility, gentleness, compassion, a quiet confidence in God. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice. In the NIV it says for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. This is somebody whose whole life and ambition is towards God and his kingdom alone. My prayer is that over these next 3 weeks, as we focus on praying your kingdom come, our whole mind and our heart will be centered around him and his will, because that's what God blesses. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Can I challenge us that we live in a self-centered world? That was the trouble with the fall, right at the start of the world. Don't look at God, look at yourself. Our world is so self-centered. I'm self-centered. I'm self-centered. Are you? It's gone very quiet. Thank you for your honesty. I know I'm self-centered. Ask my family. I know. I battle with myself every day. Every day. And I have to say, self-die. It's not about you. But my world would tell me it's all about me. It's all about you, Sarah. Put yourself first. Do what you want to do. Please yourself. That's not what the kingdom of God is about. The kingdom of God says you need to die to yourself. Ouch. The Bible says you're blessed when you're shown mercy. Do you know what mercy really is? It's me actually giving reward to somebody when they don't deserve it and when I'll get nothing from it. When was the last time you treated somebody really well when they didn't deserve it? In fact, they deserved the opposite. And you didn't even get any recognition for it. But God saw. That's where the kingdom of God is. That's the kingdom of God. I have to move on quickly. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. Oh, I pray that over the next 3 weeks, as we intentionally give time to pray, our hearts will be softened towards his heart. That's what it means by a pure heart, a heart that's after God's heart. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. Can I just pause there and say, it doesn't say God blesses those who keep the peace. There's too many peacekeepers today. In other words, let's brush it all under the carpet and keep everyone happy. Are you like that? I am. I'm a peacekeeper. Oh, let's not upset the apple cart. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, blessed are you when you work for peace. There's a difference between being somebody who works for peace. In fact, I almost want to suggest to you, and I'm working this through in my own life at the minute, sometimes to work for peace actually can be very uncomfortable. And actually, if we're really working for peace, we might have to challenge some things, which doesn't feel like peace keeping. I'll leave that with you. I don't have all the answers this morning. But read what the Bible says, not what we think it says. Sometimes we think Jesus blesses, oh, it's all right if we just keep the peace. Shove it under the carpet, it'll all go away. I know families that have spent years just doing that. Well, let's not talk about that. It's in the past. Just leave it be. Leave it be. And do you know what we do? We give Satan a foothold. We give Satan a stronghold. The brave thing we could do is bring that thing out and say, God, by your grace, we're going to work this through because we're going to work for peace. Do you see the difference? Is anyone hearing me this morning? God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Can I tell you something? I've written it in my notes. Let me read it to you. If we are really living as citizens of his kingdom, we will stand out. Sorry to tell you that. You know, I think I probably used to preach, come to Jesus, it'll all be wonderful and rosy and brilliant. It's not. Sorry. It's not. Come to Jesus and Satan doesn't like it. You're going to be up against some aggro. Expect troubles. Jesus said you'll have troubles in this world, but cheer up because I've overcome. You're victorious through me. But don't be fooled into thinking, I come to Jesus and that's it now. Wonderful. Wonderful. Oh, it's just begun. But I want to tell you, it's just begun. There is nothing better and nothing greater than the life that he gives. But if we are truly living as citizens of his kingdom, we will stand out. It will bring opposition. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount is talking all about our being. He's saying, my kingdom is in your being. It's in your being. But here's the second thing I want to focus on this morning is the kingdom of God. When we say, God, let your kingdom come in me, which is our focus this week in our praying. God, your kingdom come in me. It's God in my being, every part of who I am. But it's also in our moments. It's also in our moments. I was thinking about this in the week as I was wrestling this whole thing about, God, have I missed the moment of New Year? And God said to me, no, it's your being. But I also felt him say, but Sarah, it's not, one is not greater than the other. It's our being and our moments. We need God, kingdom of God moments. We need moments where we go, that's the kingdom of God. Look at what God has done. That is clearly the tangible evidence of the kingdom of God at work. We need moments. It needs to be outworked in our lives. I think there's a danger today that the pendulum has swung so much from a works-based faith, which I grew up in very much. I know I did. And so I think the pendulum has swung slightly now in that we're so much like, oh, God doesn't really mind. You can just do nothing. Just sit on a cloud and just hum your way to heaven. That's just not what I read in my Bible. The Bible talks that God has predestined us to do good works. The kingdom of God is about works. It's not just about our being. It's about both. It's our being and our works. And I just fear that sometimes we've swung so much into our being and we've forgotten that actually God, the kingdom of God needs to be manifest in our works, in our doing. But it's both equal. There is not one higher than the other. I hope I'm making some sense this morning. Our being, in fact, what our being, our doing rather, must come out of our being. It has to be that way round. But don't neglect what you do. Don't neglect the moments. When you're praying, God, your kingdom come in me, don't just expect it to be in your being. Expect it to be in your moments, in the things that we do. Thanks, Jim. Let's slip on to the next one now. Your kingdom come in me, in my moments. I believe that we should be expecting this year tangible, visible, heaven-breaking, inter-earth moments. Is there anyone in the room that would agree with me? I'm expectant for it. And as I'm getting older, I'm getting increasingly hungry and desperate. God, I'm longing to see your kingdom come on the earth. That's why I pray it every day. God, your kingdom come. And the challenge that we're going to begin this week is we've got to pray it for ourselves first. God, your kingdom come in me. Which means that every day I'm expectant. God, I'm looking for kingdom moments. I'm looking for moments where I see your kingdom established in and through me. The kingdom of God breaking out around me. The kingdom of God at work is a demonstration of the power of God, the visible evidence of God. Jesus demonstrated the kingdom at work, and he sent his disciples to do the same. Go and heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. I don't know about you, but I've not seen much of that in my lifetime. I haven't. I'm not going to hide behind that. I haven't. I've seen some incredible things, and over these coming weeks, let's share about that. But I want to see more. I want to see more. I'm not satisfied with just going, oh, well, that'll be one day. I can trust him that he makes the decision about what's now and what's one day, but it's not going to stop me pressing in to saying, your kingdom come now, God. Do you hear the difference? And too many of us have resigned ourselves to saying, well, it'll happen one day, and in the meantime, I'll just sit on my cloud. Come on, your kingdom come in me now. Moments of your kingdom breaking in. Turn over the page if you've still got Matthew open to Matthew chapter 6. I want to just begin to just look at the kingdom of God in me, in my moments. And in Matthew 6, verse 19, Jesus says this, don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths will eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. But store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Your eye is like the lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. These are challenging words, aren't they? It would have been very easy for me just to skip over them and get to the key verse here, but I thought I should read all of this. Jesus says, that's why I tell you, don't worry about your everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can I just pause right there? Have you been anxious this week about your finances? Come on, I reckon that's got to be a lot of us in this room. If you've been anxious this week just about everyday life stuff, Jesus, in all of his kindness, is saying here, don't be. Because if my Father can take care of the birds, don't you think he's watching you? Just allow that nugget of truth to sink into your hearts. Do you trust your Father? Do you trust him? Your kingdom come in me, Father. So don't worry about your clothes. Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for the wildflowers that are here today and tomorrow they're thrown into the fire, won't he certainly care for you? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Would you say these words with me if your Bible is open? Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. I grew up, I don't know if it's the NIV, but seek first the kingdom of God. Would you just say that with me? Come on, it's very quiet. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Friends, I want to tell you at the start of this year, my New Year message to us, Harbour Church, is let's be a community who seek first the kingdom of God. When you pray this week, your kingdom come in me. It's your kingdom come in my being, in who I am, my state of being, the fruit of the Spirit at work within me. But God, your kingdom come as I seek you first in my life, that in every area of my life, you are number one, you are first. I recently just watched something that Jay John put together, and he just, Jim, if we could have this slide, thank you. This is just what he said as he described this word first. He said, is God first in your finance? Is he first in your interests? Is he first in your relationships? Is he first in your schedule? Is he first in your troubles? Maybe we can leave that up for a little bit. You might want to jot that down. Maybe you want to meditate and think on that and pray on that this week. When you're praying, your kingdom come in me, why don't you ask him, God, are you really first in my finance? Are you really? Or do I just chuck a little bit in at the end of the month if there's some left over? You know, the Bible speaks about honoring God with our giving. That's the kingdom of God. When you're praying, God, your kingdom come in me, it means your bank account. God, your kingdom come in me. I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God. Is he first in your interests, the things that dominate your mind, the things that you love, the person that you are, your interests? Is he first? Is he first in your relationships? This is a tough one for some of us. Is he first in your schedule? If you're a bit of a workaholic, that's a challenge for you. Is he first, or does he just tag on to the end of the day? When you've got a bit of time and your head hits the pillow and you're already shattered, oh God, sorry, I've forgotten to talk to you today. I've been so busy. Is he first in your schedule? Is he first in your troubles? Who do you turn to? Who do you turn to? Is he first? Is he first? Is he king? Is your yes to him first? Above all else, your kingdom, your rule, your reign. Do you know, I believe that this is the outworking of the kingdom of God at work in us. Over the next 21 days, we are, as a church, committing to pray, your kingdom come. And we're breaking this into three areas. God, your kingdom come in me as an individual. That's this first week. God, your kingdom come in us as a church. That's our second week. God, your kingdom come in this community, in this town of Folkestone. That's the third week. And we're being very intentional in breaking it down into 3 weeks because we want to give you time to really focus on those three areas. We want, as a church, to be very intentional over these next 21 days to start this year by growing in our understanding of what does it mean for his kingdom to come and his will to be done. We've got different ways of helping you do that. One of them that we're going to be giving out at the end is that this has been produced. It's a, Jim's called it a 21-day companion. It's a lovely word for it, Jim, thank you, rather than a guide, which most of us would be familiar with. And this has been put together in such a brilliant way, and devotionals, every day, a little devotional for you to read, prayer for you to pray on each of those sections. So the first 7 days, the first week, is going to be all focused on your kingdom come in me. The second week, your kingdom come in us as a church. The third week, your kingdom come in this community. And we want to encourage all of you to take one of these today and to be committed to follow this through. The great thing is, it's not just us as adults that are going to be having these, but Mary Jane has produced them for all of our children. And can we just really thank Jim and Mary Jane, because they've worked brilliantly hard. Can we just do that right now? Thank you so much. a lot of work goes into producing things like this. I only just saw Mary Jane's this morning, and I just said, this took a lot of work, didn't it? She said, yeah, it did. And so thank you for that. But Mary Jane, when she heard about this, she said, I want our kids to have this. I want our kids to be a part of it. So parents, your kids are going to have one of these at the end. This is something you can do together as a family. We can commit. It's not going to take that long. They're short little devotionals. But each one of these, there we go, each one of these will just help us as we read it through to be able to pray at the start of the day, at the middle of the day, at the end of the day, whenever it works for you. God, your kingdom come in me. That's one way that we want to help us over these 21 days. We're going to have gathered times of prayer. Gareth's already mentioned them, and they've been on the screen. On a Tuesday, on a Wednesday, on a Saturday, and on a Sunday. Gathered times. Our Sunday nights, we're launching tonight at 6 o'clock. I've titled these, Hallowed Be Your Name. Because that's how the Lord's Prayer starts. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And it's my desire that as we gather on a Sunday night, that these worship, prayer, praise nights launch us into the week. Because before we pray, your kingdom come, we need to know who we're praying to. And we need to be honoring and giving praise to the King. So I don't quite know how tonight will go, but I'm coming expectant that it's going to be an evening of praise, an evening of declaration, as we give honor to the King. And we launch this 21 days by saying, God, we're focusing on you. We're honoring the King. And then that launches us in to be able to pray, your kingdom come. Do you know, too often we come to pray and we forget who we're praying to. Isn't that true? But when Jesus taught us to pray, he said, begin by praying, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Declare his greatness and who he is. That's what Sunday nights are so important for. Next Saturday, we're inviting you to join us in a 24-hour continuous prayer day. And over here is a board that has 48 little blocks on it, which means that you can commit to pray for half an hour during the day next Saturday and during the night, if you're able to. If we don't fill it all up, that's okay. I don't think heaven will have a crisis. Just saying, you know. But how wonderful if this morning 48 of us could say, I'm going to be a part of that. Now, you don't have to go anywhere. You can pray in your pajamas. But how wonderful that we have a continuous prayer chain going on all of next Saturday. Isn't that wonderful? We've done this a couple of times before as a church, and it's been amazing, actually, the breakthrough we've seen, the miracles that have happened, because we've committed together to pray, your kingdom come. And we're asking that you specifically really pray, God, your kingdom come in us, that next Saturday the 11th, you sign up, and you know that you're joining with all of us as we take half an hour each. Now, it might be that you want to sign up for 2 or 3 sessions. That's absolutely fine. Put your name down wherever you can, but will you commit to pray next Saturday, God, your kingdom come in us as a church? As I begin to wrap this up, the next 3 weeks we're going to be looking at this whole subject of the kingdom of God. But I want to lay some foundational things. Richard, could you just come? Is that all right? I want to just lay 3 things this morning that I think are really key to us praying your kingdom come. I'm going to say them quickly, so don't panic. And just to let you know, the children are going to be coming in a moment. And that's because we want to give out our devotional books together as a family, okay? We don't just want to give them out to all of us and then the kids just get them on their own. We want to do this together, okay? So just be aware of that. 3 things that are so foundational. The kingdom of God is all about the King. Did you hear me? When you pray, your kingdom come, your eyes are on one alone, and he's the King. The kingdom of God is only the kingdom of God because the kingdom of God has a King. That sounds very simple, doesn't it? But I want to remind you this morning that that King is on the throne. I want to remind you this morning that that King is as sovereign today as he has ever been. That he is creator and he is King. The Bible says he's the Lord of lords and he's the King of kings. We're up against another kingdom, the kingdom of this world. Satan, the evil one. I tell you, his kingdom's being overthrown. Jesus dealt it a mighty blow on the cross. And that's why now we've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God. But I want to declare today, for you to hear and for all of the spiritual realm to hear, that Jesus Christ is King of the kingdom, that he is sovereign, that he is good, that he rules and he reigns. And the reason I want to say that so clearly is because for us living here in Britain, we don't understand very well kingdom. We use the word, we're part of a united kingdom. Our monarchy doesn't have power, but I want to tell you, my king does. And so we struggle to understand what a kingdom really is. And here's the truth that I want you to hear this morning. The kingdom of God is not a democracy. I don't think you heard me. The kingdom of God is not a democracy. It's not up for your vote. Whether you vote yes or no, he is still king. He is sovereign. He is in control. He knows exactly what he's doing. And you, like me, look around the world right now and let's be honest, you say, God, do you really? Do you really? Maybe right now you're facing a crisis in your life and you go, are you really in control, God? Are you really sovereign? I want to declare over your life, yes, he is. He is sovereign. He is on the throne. He is king. There are so many things I don't understand. There are so many mysteries, but I will not budge from this foundational truth that God Almighty is the King of all kings. He is very much in control. He's very much alive. He is in charge of everything. And somebody needs to say amen. When Peter had a revelation of who Jesus was, he said this, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And do you know what Christ means? It means this, you're the anointed King. What a revelation Peter had. Have you had that revelation? That Christ is your anointed King. The second thing I want to tell you is this, is that the question, when we pray your kingdom come, your will be done, is never his sovereignty. The question is always, are we willing to be his subjects? The question is never his sovereignty. When you begin to pray this, and I longingly hope that we all will, but I can only urge you, I can't make you, I can't turn up at your house every day and go, have you prayed today? But I invite you to join us over the next 21 days on praying your kingdom come, God, in me. And as you pray it and as you read this devotional book, it's going to challenge your heart about how subject you are to the King. Are you willing to be his subject? So many Christians want God as a figurehead, but they're not willing to bow their knee in subjection to the King. And over these 21 days, I pray that God will do something in our hearts where we're willing to bow our knee and be subject to the King. And the third thing I want to underline is this. In order to pray this prayer, we need an eternal perspective. When we pray your kingdom come, we have to trust that God is sovereign and that he is working out his eternal purposes, and we might not see it fully yet, but that's where faith comes in, and we trust that he is eternally good. Don't ask me to explain that to you, because I can't. I sit with people a lot who are walking through such horrendous things, and I can only cry with them, say, I don't get it, but I dare and I choose to trust in an eternal God who is good and right in all his ways, who is sovereign. And all I know is that I only see in part, but one day I'll see in full. And in this gap in between, I'm willing to trust, because I've got to be honest with you, I wouldn't want to trust anyone else. Just saying. We live by faith. And I want to tell you this morning these three foundational things, that he is the King. The question is, are we willing to be his subjects? And the third thing is, we need an eternal perspective. There is a bigger picture. And the great thing is that when we pray your kingdom come, we're praying into an eternal story. Would you close your eyes with me? Listen, just as Richard just sings this prayer. Thanks, Richard. Richard.